Get it year-round. She would use frozen raspberries, and I would actually have to buy the little retail size 1 pound containers. And what they were was frozen raspberries. And of course, when you defrost them, they throw off their juice. They weren't sugared. It wasn't a pie filling. It was just plain frozen raspberries. Advantage to that, I guess, is of course you do want them. The texture softens, so the freezing does that, and they're picked at the peak of ripeness. Sometimes you find raspberries, you know, especially in the winter, you don't. They're coming from southern hemisphere. They've made a long trip, and sometimes they're not much.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Indiana primary voters head to the polls today. Donald Trump telling Fox News his Fox and Friends he thinks there will be a great voter turnout for the primary.
People are tired of what's happening with these, you know, politicians, and they're just tired of seeing our country get ripped off.
This could be the last chance for Republican Ted Cruz to slow Trump's momentum, Trump declaring himself the GOP's presumptive nominee after sweeping five primaries in the Northeast last week. Indiana, a winner-take-all state for Republicans with 57 delegates available. Democrats going after 92 delegates in their proportional race. Defense Secretary Ash Carter confirms the death of a U.S. service member in Iraq. Speaking to reporters in Germany, Secretary Carter giving a few details, saying only that it was a combat death and a very sad loss. Last month, Carter announcing that over 200 additional U.S. troops, including Special Operations Forces, were being deployed to Iraq. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries from Trending Today USA. As I look at all of the best websites in the world, one of the ones that actually kind of brings a tear to my eye every day, and I know a lot of my female friends love it, it's ThoughtfulWomen.org. And Heather Laskin, what do you do with ThoughtfulWomen.org?
Well, Rusty, we have all kinds of stuff on our site. It's basically, you know, stuff that would be interesting to a thoughtful woman. So everything from recipes and tips and tricks, you know, in your kitchen or your house, to inspiring and uplifting stories, to news and political type articles, just kind of the whole gamut.
The uplifting stories, that's where you really kind of shine at ThoughtfulWomen.org, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what people tend to really gravitate towards.
It's stuff that you want people to feel good about, a great website to go into the morning, get that nice inspiration every day.
Yeah, exactly. And we love getting to find those stories and share them with everyone.
All right, well, Heather Laskin does a great job. Make sure you check out this incredible website, ThoughtfulWomen.org. That's ThoughtfulWomen.org.
Well, it's National Teacher Appreciation Day. It's a day to remember the impact that teachers have had on us. Teachers with a valid staff ID will be able to get some free stuff as a thank you for all their hard work. Chipotle is offering them a buy one, get one deal. Barnes & Noble offering discounts of up to 25%, and there are plenty of deals available at the Apple Store for Education. Are you looking for a used car? Well, we're a month into the car buying season right now, and an expert on used car sales is out with some standard reminders on how to avoid getting fooled in a car deal. Larry Gamash is with Carfax.
Make sure you get any car you're considering purchasing checked by a qualified mechanic. Number two, take your vehicle for a test drive. And three, make sure you see a vehicle history report.
Carfax, of course, offering those vehicle history reports. Gamash says a big problem right now is illegal odometer rollbacks. And that scam can cost you thousands of dollars in repairs. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater, Daybreak USA with Angie Austin, and my new show that takes you from online to on air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
Puerto Rico defaults on bond payments. USA Radio senior correspondent Jason Wirt has the details.
Puerto Rico announced Monday they would not be making a $370 million debt payment. The island's governor also signed a law stating no one can sue the nation for lack of payment. Rachel Gressler of the Heritage Foundation tells USA Radio News that move was a surprise.
We didn't think something like that would happen, but he's created that. I mean, it will certainly be challenged, and people will say this is not lawful. This is unconstitutional.
The announcement of lack of payment came after weekend negotiations failed. I'm Jason Wirt.
Hillary Clinton contradicts herself in coal country. USA Radio's Anthony Lucero has this report.
Remember when she said this?
We're going to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business.
Hillary Clinton is now calling that statement a misstatement. During a campaign stop in West Virginia on Monday, an out-of-work coal company worker confronted Clinton about her comments during that CNN town hall event in March. The Democratic presidential frontrunner then apologized for her words, calling it a misstatement.
Because what I was saying is that the way things are going now, we will continue to lose jobs. That's what I meant to say, and I think that that seems to be supported by the facts.
I'm Anthony Lucero.
Well, half of America's teenagers say they're addicted to their smartphone, and a lot more of their parents say the same thing. There's a new study that found that 50% of U.S. kids, 12 to 18, believe they're addicted to their mobile devices. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good morning. This is Tony Clark, and this is Some Things About Money. It is Tuesday, May 3rd, 11:06 a.m. The weather right now is 54 degrees and rainy. Looks like we'll have continued rain throughout the evening. Northeast wind around 7 miles per hour with a high around 58 degrees for today. Tonight, more scattered showers, mainly after 1 a.m., and cloudy with a low around 48 degrees. Chance of precipitation is 30%. On Wednesday, additional showers, high near 58 degrees. Calm wind becoming east around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. And Wednesday night, more showers to come with a low around 47 degrees. Northeast wind 3 to 6 miles per hour. And then again on Thursday, more rain with a high near 61 degrees. North wind around 7 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 50%. We'll be right back with Some Things About Money and Joe Patton.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
And we're off. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Hiding Associates. And we are located at 1318 Route 31 North Annandale, New Jersey. Welcome to Some Things About Money. Tony, that was a dismal forecast that you gave everyone. But then again, you know, it's springtime. We expect a lot of wet weather and quite frankly, right after we have wet weather, we're probably going to be going right into shorts and T-shirt and flip-flop season. I remember those summers from wee long gone by where we would have spring where it was cold and damp and miserable. And all of a sudden, right after that, we come to Memorial Weekend and it would be 85, 90 degrees. Humidity would kick up and all of a sudden people would forget about the nasty spring. And let's just hope we have that again this year. Unfortunately, we have some nasty market stuff going on. You know, talking about the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it's not looking all that good. It's certainly not green like the grass outside. It's quite red. The Dow is now at 17,708. That's down over 182 points. The S&P 500 at 2,059, down 22 and a third. And the NASDAQ down 57 points, 1.19%. Over in Europe, they're not doing any better than we are. I mean, their stocks are lower. Bank earnings are down. Miners, autos, not all that great. The FTSE's down 48 points, 0.77%. The DAX is down 188, 1.86%. And the CAC 40 down 60.73, or 1.37%. Looking at oil, oil is $43.45 a barrel. That's down $1.33, 2.97%. People looking at lower prices because of supply glut fears. Gold, well, they've been hovering around $1,300 an ounce for a while now on the weaker dollar. But currently, it's down to $12.84. That's down $11.80. And the 10-year Treasury sale, rising a bit among vehicle sales. The yield's down to 1.791%. So that is our update. Well, it's primary day in Indiana, and people are out there voting and perhaps sealing the deal on Donald Trump. We'll have to see how that progresses and what the call is later on this evening. But you know, it's fascinating when you're watching the candidates out there. One day it's, you know, it's a do-or-die state. The next day after the polls come out, it's not that important after all. You know, actually it is. And even though Cruz is talking about taking it all the way to the convention, I just don't see a path. And I think a lot of other people don't see a path either. And if they don't give it to Trump, if he has the, let's just say, the delegates that he needs to clinch the deal, I can't wait to see what the television crews are going to be showing on that night. But anyway, markets continue to rally this past month with all major market indices outside of REITs ending the month in positive territory. Commodities had a very strong month as far as the Bloomberg Commodity Index. They were saying that was up 8.5%, its best monthly performance since December of 2010. Domestic equities ended the month up slightly. S&P 500 index was up about 0.4%. Continuing the trend from recent months, value outperformed growth, with the Russell 1000 Value Index outperforming the Russell 1000 Growth Index by 301 basis points. Small cap stocks led the way, with the Russell 2000 Index outperforming the S&P 500 by 118 basis points. The energy sector was the top performing sector in the S&P, up 8.7%, benefiting from the continued improvement in oil prices, although not today. The technology sector was the worst performing, down 5.4%, as some major names posted disappointing first quarter earnings. Apple was probably the best example of that. Foreign developed stock performed well. The MSCI EAFE index was up 2.9%, while emerging market stock ended up, they were pretty much flat. The index was up 0.5%. In fixed income, core bonds and municipal bonds ended the month up slightly. High-yield bonds were the top-performing sector during the month. Barclays High Yield, let's see, that was up 2%. Capped Index up 3.9%, while other equity-sensitive securities like convertibles and preferred stocks also performed well. International bonds, they did well during the month, with the Citi WGBI up 1.9% and the J.P. Morgan Emerging Market Bond Index up 1.8%. REITs, well, they were really the only major asset class to post negative returns in April. Global REITs were they were down slightly. MSCI World REIT Index down 0.2%, while domestically we performed worse than that. Our index was down 2.39%. Consumers, where are the consumers gone? Well, I'm not sure. The fundamentals seem to be in good shape, so why aren't they spending more? The biggest factor seems to be a simple lack of confidence. Everyone's out there telling you how bad things are, and I think consumers are starting to believe it. Most indicators of consumer financial health, they do provide a positive message, but employment levels are expanding at a solid rate. Gas prices are lower than they've been in years, although recently we've seen an uptick there. Home values are rising at a steady pace, primarily because of lack of supply. Incomes are growing soundly. Unemployment is fairly low and going lower. Debt levels are quite low, and credit delinquency rates in many categories are at their lowest levels in many years. So why has consumer spending been so tepid? Well, granted, consumer spending has been growing, but more recently at a somewhat weaker pace. Smaller tax refunds due to the rising tax penalties from the Affordable Care Act could be a factor, but this is really too small a percentage of the overall population to have a material impact in our view. We note that other issues associated with health care, such as higher premiums and costs, are taken into consideration in the data. At least an effort has been made to do that. Financial markets have been volatile over recent quarters due to various concerns, and it appears that these same periodic fears may be impacting consumer sentiment and thus spending propensities. After rising slowly, yet steadily since the Great Recession, consumer confidence and sentiment levels have stalled over the last year. Forecasters expect a slight improvement in the University of Michigan's consumer sentiment measure to be released today. However, the Consumer Conference Board's confidence index for April disappointed when released, today was 94.2 versus 96.1 in March. Measures of consumer confidence are not very helpful in predicting consumer spending patterns over the short periods of time, but they can be very valuable predictors over the intermediate and longer term. And this is why we believe consumer sentiment measures take on considerably more significance in the current environment. And we do believe that the data bears closer watching. So, people, is it a canary in a coal mine situation where people are looking at what's going on and, saying, hey, it's not looking all that great out there and maybe we should not be spending and perhaps saving more, which is never a bad thing, but we'll have to see what that looks like. Let's see. We're going to talk some by the numbers later on in the show. I think I'm going to make some comments. I've been watching the television and some of the rallies that are taking place, watching Hillary and Bernie and certainly Ted Cruz and John Kasich, and let's not forget Donald Trump. And it seems to be, this organized focus against the Trump rallies and all of the violence and, in California destroying police vehicles and whatnot. I'm not sure what's going on out there, but I certainly haven't seen or heard a lot of conversation from the media over violence by the left. And I want to read you an article that I came across recently by David Hassani, and it pretty much, he puts his finger on exactly what's going on. But in the meantime, we'll start off by covering some morning research notes and maybe talk a little bit about the Red Shoe event that's coming up on June 3rd, and that is a BW Nice of Hunterdon County. Their chapter is putting this on. It's their fifth annual. And if you haven't attended this thing, you really need to check it out. It's a fabulous event, fashion show, luncheon, and again, sponsored by BW Nice, Inc., Friday, June 3rd from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Hunterdon Hills Playhouse. So should be a good time had by all. And if you want to check it out and maybe purchase a ticket or a table, go to www.bwniceincapletters.org. And you'll find out all about it. I think it's time for our first break, Tony. And when we come back, we will be going over morning research notes and see what else we come across.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
And we're back. You're listening to Some Things About Money. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, here with Tony Clark, who's kind enough to work the board with me today. And I think Tony's reading over her notes for by the numbers later on. But in the meantime, we want to talk a little bit about maybe sell in May? Well, yesterday's Wall Street Journal article pointed out that since 1970, the S&P 500 index has gained an average of all of 1% between Memorial Day and Labor Day. Now, according to Bespoke Investment Group, however, stocks do the worst in May to October in that period if the 4 months are generally flat. Actually, they are pretty flat. Interestingly, the S&P 500 is up just 0.39% year-to-date and through the end of April on a total return basis. From 1928 to 2015, and in the 16th, well, flattish market period, stocks lost about 0.2% between May and October. You know, though selling in May of last year would have helped investors avoid the summer swoon last August, it would have also contributed to missing out in gains during 2012 and 2014. So please use these facts for information purposes only. We do expect a volatile period this summer, especially with the Fed, a monetary policy, earnings, continued global growth questions, the looming U.S. presidential general election. Well, you know, Brexit concerns and currency dynamics could all intersect to keep investors on edge during the next few months. Although we do not prescribe to the strategy of sell in May and go away, investors should be prepared for a potentially bumpy path forward as spring turns into summer. The typical summer doldrums may be anything but boring this year, and diversification may be the best protection against getting that nasty burn. Hammer of Thor, although it is not expected that Thor will make an appearance in Friday's release of Captain America Civil War, kind of a bummer. The U.S. Treasury Department appears to have at least picked up the mighty hammer in his absence, as touched on yesterday, a recent report by the Treasury has targeted China, Japan, South Korea, Taiwan, and Germany for potentially unfair currency practices. Each country meets two of the three thresholds set forth in the Trade Facilitation and Trade Enforcement Act of 2015. The act is a bipartisan effort to protect the U.S. interests against currency manipulation and to help stem a global race to the bottom as growth remains slow across the world. Although the ultimate consequences to countries being placed on the list are rather suspect at best, it could prompt eventually engagement or, well, let's see. I was reading this and, well, put it this way, we don't like it. Through the monitor test, it's essentially a non-event to each country for now, particularly compared to actions taken by the U.S. over recent years to create favorable conditions for the U.S. dollar, quantitative easing, that kind of stuff. And it does send a message to countries that the U.S. is watching currency dynamics, and we're going to see over time if walking with that mighty hammer is enough to keep the countries in check. Somehow, I doubt it. Asia-Pacific equities, well, they traded mixed overnight while the Nikkei was closed for Golden Week. The Reserve Bank of Australia unexpectedly cut its cash rate by 25 basis points to 1.75%. Although most expected the bank to stay on hold, easing expectations had been building after a tame inflation print last week. The Australian dollar declined on the news. China's Kixin manufacturing PMI, and measures smaller and more local companies. Well, that fell to 49.4 in April from 49.7 in March and below the 49.9 expected. The reading shows the 14th straight month of contraction in China and confirms the modestly softer official government manufacturing PMI data released over the weekend. So that was one of the reasons why our U.S. markets opened so low and we continue to be under pressure. Just not a really good thing for our markets. In fact, if we take a look at what's going on right now, we continue to fall a little bit more. The Dow Jones is currently down 198 points. The S&P is down 24. And the NASDAQ currently is down 62.27. Europe, again, not doing well. FTSE is down 0.7%. The DAX is down 1.7%. And the CAC 40 is down 1.27%. So everybody has China fever today. Other things that have been happening, there's been a lot of conversation about the Department of Labor's new fiduciary regulation, and, people are going crazy over this stuff. And for the life of me, I don't know why, because it really is in the best interest of clients. The whole idea of maybe not getting the advice that you need because you don't have a lot of money to invest, and a lot of the advisors will be backing away because of the regulations, kind of seems foolish, because for years now, smaller investors don't want to pay fees to advisors, and they're getting their information on the internet. And you do have low-cost providers like Charles Schwab out there who are providing a tremendous amount of information on their websites. But the House of Representatives approved along party lines on last Thursday a resolution that would kill the Department of Labor rule about investment advice. After an hour-long debate, all of an hour, the House voted 234 to 183 in favor of the measure, which was offered under a law that allows Congress to stop regulations within 60 days of a final rule's release. Now, no Republican voted against the resolution, and no Democrat supported it. The resolution would stop the rule requiring financial advisors to act in the best interest of their clients in retirement accounts. Now, let me understand this, and you need to understand this. You had, along party lines, 234 members of the House of Representatives vote against a bill or a rule that would force advisors to act in the best interest of you. How many heads just exploded? The White House last week, actually it was last Wednesday, signaled that President Obama would veto the resolution. A House vote proved that Republicans remain far from crumbling together on, they haven't been able to put together a supermajority needed, actually, in both the House and the Senate to override a veto. The Senate has not yet acted on a similar resolution. Now, during the floor debate last Thursday, Republicans asserted that the rule was too complex. It was very complex when you have to put the customer's well-being first. I understand that. and would make investment advice too costly for savers with modest assets, which, of course, is ridiculous because it's all over the Internet. Several of them held up the bulky rule, which is bound by red tape. This is a 1,000-page bill to define one word, said Representative Phil Rowe, a Republican from Tennessee. The resolution sponsor referring to its definition of advisors who are fiduciaries. Representative Ann Wagner, a Republican from Missouri, called the regulation Obamacare for retirement savings. Not really. The Republican criticisms of the rule align with industry opposition to the regulation. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce deemed last Thursday's action one of its key votes of the year. Democrats stood united with Mr. Obama, saying the rule is needed to protect workers and retirees from conflicted advice. There aren't many things that I agree with the president on. This happens to be one of them. I do, because it is needed. And if we haven't seen proof of that over the recent decades of what's been happening with Wall Street, I don't know what is. When all you can complain about is the size of the bill, you know you have a weak argument, said Representative Bobby Scott, a Democrat from Virginia, in response to the GOP criticism of the rule. They incorporated every single change asked for, said Representative Karen Maloney, a Democrat from New York, referring to the Department of Labor's revisions to the proposed rule. Originally, they were looking for disclosures in writing about compensation. They were going to eliminate things like marketing fees, 12B1 fees from mutual funds that are made available to the advisors who are selling those funds to customers. They were going to just make it more difficult to use certain products. They were going to eliminate the use of certain types of annuities, non-traded REITs, other types of exotic investments that really have high fees, are restrictive, and are very complicated for customers to deal with. And now there are some exceptions that have been granted that come with full and fair disclosure of all material facts as it relates to these products. And are you telling me that the industry doesn't want to do it because they're afraid that people won't buy the stuff? They don't want to disclose it. It's just too complicated. Please. But with that, I think we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about leftist violence and then go right into some by the numbers for Tony.
USA Radio News with John DeMaster.
Indiana primary voters are the most powerful people in presidential politics today. This could be Texas Senator Ted Cruz's last chance to slow the momentum of Republican frontrunner Donald Trump. University of Virginia political expert Larry Sabato explains.
If Trump loses and Cruz wins, then this is clearly going to go all the way through the primaries and maybe to the convention, and so we'll have a much longer playing field.
Sabato on Fox News saying that Trump would likely end up being the nominee if he wins today. Target seeing its stock prices plummet after over a million people sign a petition pledging a boycott over the new bathroom policies allowing employees and customers who are men according to their birth sex go into the women's bathroom and dressing rooms. The company's stock falling from $84.10 a share on April 19th to roughly $79.39 on Friday. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries from Trending Today USA. As I look at all of the best websites in the world, one of the ones that actually kind of brings a tear to my eye every day, and I know a lot of my female friends love it, it's ThoughtfulWomen.org. And Heather Laskin, what do you do at ThoughtfulWomen.org?
Well, Rusty, we have all kinds of stuff on our site. It's basically, you know, stuff that would be interesting to a thoughtful woman. So everything from recipes and tips and tricks, you know, in your kitchen or your house, to inspiring and uplifting stories, to news and political type articles, just kind of the whole gamut.
The uplifting stories, that's where you really kind of shine at thoughtfulwomen.org, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what people tend to really gravitate towards.
It's stuff that you want people to feel good about, a great website to go into the morning, get that nice inspiration every day.
Yeah, exactly. And we love getting to find those stories and share them with everyone.
All right, well, Heather Laskin does a great job. Make sure you check out this incredible website, thoughtfulwomen.org. That's thoughtfulwomen.org.
This is Tony, and we're back, and the weather hasn't changed much, Joe. Still raining out there. Looks like it's going to rain for the rest of the week. So we'll come back in a couple minutes, and we'll finish with Joe after this next commercial break.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
And we're back. You are listening to Some Things About Money. Well, we're also going to talk about, you know, the national conversation about violence. It really struck me when I was watching television the other night and what was going on out there, very reminiscent of Chicago. And except this time, it's more organized. There's big money behind it. There's MoveOn.org. And, you know, you have all of these people just bragging about how well they're organizing and how they're going to shut down free speech. Well, imagine, if you will, if a mob of conservatives attempted to shut down a major Hillary Clinton event, as rioters did the other day during a Donald Trump event, America would be thrust into, well, an insufferable national dialogue about the growing violent tendencies of the right to crush debate. And you know that's true. There'd be a flood of, well, anxious op-ed pieces and cable news roundtables featuring chin-stroking pundits contemplating the future of discourse in America. And no one would be spared. And you better believe every conservative politician in the country would be asked to comment on this blood-curdling development. Do you, sir, feel that your own rhetoric about immigration and guns has somehow contributed to this ugly trend we're seeing? Does the GOP need to soften its tone on abortion to stop this kind of violence from happening in the future? Well, you might remember that during the 2009-10 Obama debates, every false and exaggerated complaint and claim about Tea Party violence induced a thousand wringing hands, well, to grapple over the fascist tendencies and ugly underbelly of conservatism. You might remember the Democratic leadership in Congress decrying acts of violence against House members in concerted effort to create the perception that bloodshed was imminent. You'll no doubt remember the fake bravery of Nancy Pelosi and friends carrying a gavel across big crowds of wholly peaceful protesters, you know, protesting leftist health care policy that they were facing down, hardly violent. The media was happy to portray the peaceful Tea Party as a movement driven by racism, without a shred of proof outside its opposition to Barack Obama. You'll remember Paul Krugman blaming peaceful assembly and free speech for an insane person's assassination attempt against Kathleen Gifford, and Ezra Klein lamenting how scary things get when conservatives oppose liberal doctrine. Every shooting in America necessitates a thorough investigation into political proclivities of the perpetrator. Is he angry at the president? Did he ever register as a Republican? Is he fond of the Confederate flag? But only when the facts mesh with the helpful narrative do we hear about it. Well, when a single non-coherent nut job shoots up a Planned Parenthood location, the National Rifle Association, and every pro-life organization, every pro-life around the country, is called to do some soul-searching about their positions. All of it's an attempt at chill speech. But I don't remember any riots in the heyday of the Tea Party, do you? I do remember citizens making their case known in town hall meetings, often loudly, when the left is yelling, it's activism, when the right yells, we're all forced to ask ourselves what happened to civility. This week, the media informs us that protesters took to the streets at a Donald Trump campaign in California. One Trump supporter had his face bloodied in a scuffle as he tried to drive out of the arena. One man jumped on a police car, leaving its front and rear window smashed and the top dented, and another protester sprayed graffiti on police cars and the Pacific Amphitheater's marquee. Dozens of cars, including those of Trump supporters trying to leave, were stuck in the street as several hundred demonstrators blocked the road, waved American flags, and posed for selfies. Some protesters badgered Trump fans as they walked to their cars in the parking lot. And we saw photos last night of children yelling the F-word at these Trump supporters with their parents urging them on. This is called a riot, and it isn't the first time. In Chicago, anti-Trump protesters act similarly violently in an effort to shut down another speech, making them no better than ugly Trump fans who threaten protesters in the media. It makes them no better than the bikers, truckers, and other pro-Trump groups who are going to descend on Cleveland to physically intimidate Republicans during the convention. Of course, people are angry about Donald Trump. Of course, these people are livid about globalization. Of course, people are infuriated about all the money in politics. Trump's rhetoric doesn't excuse the liberal attacks on speech, as we saw in California and Chicago, or illiberal protests we've seen on college campuses for decades now, where people aren't even allowed freedom of speech. How things have changed since the late 60s and early 70s. A protest is a statement or action expressing disapproval or an objection to something. What campus lefties engage in are efforts to stop free expression. For that matter, it doesn't excuse the Democratic Party's constant assaults on the First Amendment. The left has a free speech problem. Now, when we are, well, I guess the question is, when are we going to treat ourselves to a national conversation about the left's propensity to undermine free speech? Why aren't we talking about leftist violence? We treat these events as isolated incidents that have nothing to do with the politics of the contemporary liberalism that we live with. We afford no other political movement the same leeway. And that, of course, was from David Harsanyi, who was an editor at The Federalist, albeit a conservative publication, but in this case, spot on. So, speaking of spot on, we continue to see red on the screen, Tony. It's just not a good thing. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, currently red, very red, down 194 points. The S&P 500 down 23.05. The NASDAQ down over 60. Looking over at Europe, stocks closed lower. Bank earnings weighed. Miners and auto slid. FTSE was down 0.7%. The DAX was down 1.72%. And the CAC 40 down 1.37%. Okay, oil continue to fall lower. Same thing on supply glut fears. Oil is at $43.60 a barrel, down $1.18 a barrel. And gold prices are down $7.10 an ounce to $1,288.70 an ounce. 10-year treasury, again, prices are higher among vehicle sales. In this equity sell-off, the 10-year treasury currently is down to 1.7875%. So that's where we stand as far as the update. Did you get it to watch any of the stuff that was on television for the last couple of nights? It's just been terrible out there. And, it just brings to mind all the thousands of people over the years, over the decades, over the wars that have died for free speech and the American way of life, only to have people step up and say that somehow they have a right to squash freedom of speech. I don't care what your political persuasion happens to be. You don't have to agree with the opposition. Go out there and voice your opinion. Give your point of view. Provide your facts to the population of this country, and then let them decide who has the better persuasive argument and vote according to that. But to actually actively, as groups funded by billionaires from not even American citizens, I mean, it's just ridiculous to me that somehow this would be tolerated by the media. Unfortunately, it is. When we come back, we are going to be talking by the numbers and some interesting factoids out there that we can have some conversation with. And in the meantime, you've been listening to Some Things About Money. We will be back in a minute.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back. You are listening to Some Things About Money, although some folks who were listening to the last segment would say, well, that, Joe, wasn't really about money. That was sort of a political conversation. And you're right, it was. Because freedom of speech and capitalism is being attacked by the left and being attacked really hard. And all those things that you've worked very hard for, you know, it's going to change, folks, unless people wake up and are willing to do something about it to, you know, protect the Constitution and the rule of law. And doing nothing really plays into the hands of those people who are looking to change how things are in this country. Now, I understand the whole conversation about, you know, the wall and, you know, Wall Street, and nobody's been a bigger proponent of regulations and transparency when it comes to financial services than I am. But as far as attacking the Constitution, as far as putting people who have come here illegally ahead of American citizens, you know, people who are actively out there trying to squash the First Amendment rights of American people to exercise their right of free speech, I'm sorry, that attacks the very heart of our country. And if you don't think that that isn't going to have an impact on your financial well-being down the road, just take a look at the enormous debt that we've run up in this country. Take a look at the cost of all of these additional entitlement programs that we have today that didn't exist 10, 15, 20 years ago. And take a look at what they're trying to layer onto that existing horrible total by offering new services to people who aren't even American citizens. So don't tell me that it has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with money and has everything to do with your financial well-being. So you need to pay attention if you haven't been paying attention up to this point, because things are changing and they're not changing in your direction. With that said, it's time for some by the numbers. Tony, what you got for me?
All right, so since reaching the all-time high, the S&P 500, it reached the all-time closing high back in May 21st last year, 2015. Since then, the S&P has gained 0.1% total return.
Yuck.
Yeah. Not so good. That's why my balance is not changing.
Well, none of it's changing. In fact, most analysts are forecasting the next 5 years or so, because of our low interest rate policy, to expect returns in equities of somewhere between 5% and 7%. And you know, with interest rates being as low as they are, you're still going to be looking at 1-2% on the fixed side. So if you're not saving money, you're not going to be able to grow it through investment the way we did in the previous decades. The environment is different. The amount of regulation, the tax laws, everything is there that really is designed to, well, I won't say designed to inhibit growth, but certainly has the impact of reducing the growth of investments going forward. And quite frankly, you know, for those who are focusing on income disparities here in this country, understand that the reason why you have, you know, people in the 1% group doing so much better than everyone else is because they're investing money. They took advantage. They took risk. They, you know, they put money into their 401k plans. They took extra money and put it into their non-retirement brokerage accounts, and they were able to run up, you know, the equity market that was the result of this cheap money policy, this low interest rate policy, quantitative easing policy by the Fed over there, you know, since the 2008 recession. So it's not that they stole money or did anything illegal. It's just that they were in a position, either financially or intellectually, where they were able and willing to make those investments. And that's why there's such disparity between groups. You know, all of a sudden demonizing them for doing the right thing hardly seems, to use their word, fair. You should be putting them on pedestals and having them write, you know, outlines or missives on how everyone else could end up being in the 1% by doing the same thing. And if you can't because you haven't taken the risk or taken advantage of the same opportunities, then that one is on you. If you're in a position where you did not have the opportunities, then we need to figure out a way to increase the jobs that are out there and figure out a way to find jobs that are paying good salaries. You know, bring them back in, have some tax reform, figure out a way to bring the cash that was earned offshore by our corporations, bring that back to the United States without double and triple taxing the earnings. Use that money for expansion, for new job creation, and help out the American worker, you know, by putting them in a position where companies will compete for their services, thus increasing wages to a much higher level than we have right now. But I just don't see the government willing to do that. I honestly don't think they know how. You know, government is never the answer, never the answer when it comes to growth and free markets. It's just they have no idea. And quite frankly, in terms of its ideology, you can't have large government and be a supporter of free market capital. It just isn't going to happen. You know, by their very nature, they believe that, you know, capitalism is not to be trusted. Yet the reason we are the leading country in the world and have the best standard of living for decades and decades, and you have all of these millions of people, you know, crossing the border illegally or trying to come here legally, I don't see those people, same people, making a right-hand turn, swimming across the Gulf into Cuba. I see them coming through Mexico into Texas and Arizona and California, because this is where the opportunity is. And our government needs to learn that in order for us to do well and to do better for our people, we need to create more opportunities for them. Hey, we got my daily rant in. Next.
All right, this is an interesting fact. So the top performing individual stock in the S&P 500 in 2015 gained 134.4% last year.
I like it.
That same stock.
We're not going to tell you what it is.
I know. We don't know what it is. That same stock is down 16.3% year to date through April 22nd of this year.
Well, obviously it happens. You have to understand that rarely does it occur that the leading performer in any category repeats the following year. More times than not, it's the meek that inherits the performance the following year.
Well, that's just the case here. The worst performing stock was down 77% last year, and that same stock is now up 45.6% year to date. I would like to know which one those stocks are, though.
Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to be tempted to go chasing it.
Just
you know,
curious.
That's not a good thing.
No, just curious. All right, another one. Let's see. Usually a low national unemployment rate is coupled with high inflation rate. In as of April 30th, 2008, the nation's unemployment rate was 5%, and trailing one-year inflation was 3.9%. However, this year, as of March 31st, the nation's unemployment rate remains at 5%, but the trailing one-year inflation was just 0.9%. What do you think of that?
Yeah, nothing really.
Why is the inflation rate so low?
That's because money is cheap. Money's been cheap for a long time. And when you have cheap money, and there's a lot of stuff out there that, quite frankly, your wages aren't able to purchase because wages right now have not expanded really much at all over the last 10 years, there's no reason. You know, there's not a lot of money chasing too few goods. Money's not chasing goods, so prices can't go higher because people aren't bidding the price up. Mm-hmm. And you know, that really is artificial, created by the Federal Reserve and government policies and increased regulation. And you've taken the air out of the balloon.
Speaking of money, just under 3 of every 5 millennials surveyed just this February have cited the more important than financial benefits in a job offer is actual improved quality of work life. So they rather have better work life, better work atmosphere than money.
And that would surprise you why?
It doesn't really.
I don't need money because mom and dad, hey, it's a real comfortable basement that I'm living in rent-free. And, we all know that money's evil because my party tells me it is. And, my teachers have told me that. And, I don't really need money. I need open air space. I need my internet.
I need rollerblades.
I need my rollerblades. I need more coffee houses. I need Starbucks to roll back their prices because they're too expensive. But I don't know why that would phase any. I mean, I would even think that would be the case. And when you have instances of millennials bringing their parents into job interviews or bringing their parents in to complain to their managers why they're not getting a promotion or a raise, because even though they're not performing up to company standards, they're really good people and they deserve more.
Mm-hmm.
And mom and dad or mom or dad will come in and tell the manager, my child is special. My child is wonderful. How could you not give my child more? I certainly did that. That's what they're used to. So, of course, money's not a huge issue for a lot of them. However, for those who are working really hard and doing the right thing, they're finding it difficult to get mortgages because it's just tougher to get a loan. Their FICO scores aren't very high because maybe they did some bad things in college with credit cards, or they have huge school loans because dead languages really seem to be like a fun thing to do in college, but maybe not so good for a career. And that and the fact that there isn't a lot of housing on the market is one of the reasons why we have higher prices, but we don't have the volume of sales taking place because we just don't have a lot of people will qualify for mortgages these mm-hmm. days. Plus, millennials don't want the responsibility of money. It's easier to rent. So, as a result, rental prices have gone through the roof.
Mm-hmm. Actually, speaking of renters, at the end of 2015, the number of renters versus homeowners has changed. The number of renters has increased by 3.8 million, whereas the number of homeowners declined by 100,000.
Yeah, that's a trend we're probably going to see continue for some time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, folks, I want to thank you for tuning into Some Things About Money. I wish we had some better news for you today, but it seems like the news has matched the weather. But tune in next week. This is Joe Patton, Certified Financial Planner, Patton Hyde & Associates, with Tony Clark. Thanking you again. Get out in the rain. Go shopping. Buy Hunterdon and buy often.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated